supporting WHYY Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at PennMedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
If Black Friday, Small Business Saturday, Cyber Monday, and Giving Tuesday didn't deplete your disposable dollars, there are still out-of-this-world specials to be had. Joining me with details on this episode of Sky Talk is Derek Pitts, Chief Astronomer at the Franklin Institute. Derek, we're not going out of this world, but there's a way to bring the out of the world right here.
So in order for us to be able to pull some of that stuff from the sky down to us, we might need some equipment to do that. Like a telescope would work really well. But there are really so many choices, so many things out on the market. First of all, Start simple. A simple-to-use telescope will get used far more often than a more complicated telescope, and I can't tell you how many telescopes I've heard of lying fallow in a closet because they were too sophisticated for someone to figure out how to use them. But having said that, you should try to purchase as much telescope as you can, and here's what I mean by that. The main lens on the front end of the telescope, or the mirror in a telescope, there are two types, we'll mention those in a second, you should always try to buy the largest lens or the largest mirror you can afford. That's what's really important, and the reason why is because we need light-gathering capability, and the lens does that light-gathering capability. The lens or the mirror gathers light to provide an image for us to observe. And we observe that image using what's called an eyepiece. So we already have two important parts of the telescope. We have the main lens or the mirror, and we have the eyepiece, and they work together. So the main lens gathers the light from the object, and the eyepiece magnifies the image created by that lens. So to get the best views you can, you should have the largest lens or mirror you can afford. Now, let's keep in mind the fact that Galileo's first telescope had a lens about 1 inch in diameter. You can't even find a telescope that has a 1 inch diameter lens today. More typically, you'll find an entry-level telescope at about 3 inches. So that's plenty good for getting started.
So what should you not be caught up in purchasing?
That's the best question ever. What you shouldn't be caught up in is magnification. Often telescopes are advertised according to how much they magnify. This telescope will magnify 200 times, 500 times, 600 times. Well, that's actually just a manipulation of numbers of the parameters of how the telescope works. In fact, you can't really magnify what you can't see. So rather than purchasing by magnification, go buy the largest lens or mirror you can purchase, and that will give you adequate light for most of the work you want to do. So magnification is, in a way, is sort of like an empty value. I think of it that way only because if you can't see it, you can't magnify it.
But there are two main types of telescopes.
Indeed, there are. There's the refractor telescope and the reflector telescope. Don't be afraid of the words. Refractor refers to the lensed telescope, the standard sort of spyglass that we all see in the pirate movies where you pull it out section by section and you look through the back and you're seeing something out the front. That's a refractor-type telescope. That's the type that we typically see. But then there are reflector telescopes that use mirrors. Both do the same thing. They gather light from dim distant objects, and they create an image that's then magnified by the eyepiece. So you might wonder, though, well, which one is better? And in fact, that's kind of a loaded term, which one is better, because reflectors are really good for low surface brightness objects like galaxies, nebulae, comets, things like that. Refractors are good for point sources of light, like stars, planets, and other objects of that sort. The moon is a really good example that a refractor is excellent for. But these days, both telescopes are made so well that until you get into much larger sizes, you don't really see the difference between the two. So for a beginner telescope, it's whichever one of those telescopes works best for you, which one you are comfortable with. It's really all about how comfortable are you with using that telescope or that particular style of telescope. But there's one other piece that comes into this, and that's portability. You might want to move your telescope from where you keep it out to a location where the sky is clear and dark so that you can take advantage of its light-gathering capability and you can use magnification. But if the telescope is too big, then you're not going to be willing to move it, and thus it won't get used.
Now, how about the current telescopes that make it easy for the novice in terms of being able to orient in the night sky? Is that money well spent?
There are telescopes these days called robotic telescopes that have motor drives that once you set the telescope on a particular object, not only will it follow that object all night long automatically, but you can also use what's essentially like a remote control, handheld remote control, to select items that are in the sky from a list. You press one button and the telescope automatically goes to that other object. Well, it seems really exciting to have an instrument like that, and perhaps this is a telescope that can do everything you want automatically. But the truth of the matter is, even in those automated telescopes, you have to know something about the sky to get the telescope started. Even though it might be able to read its location, time, and date from a GPS satellite, as many of these telescopes are now equipped to do, the telescope still needs to understand where it's pointed in the sky currently. So it needs to know at least one star. Now, is that good for a beginner? I wouldn't recommend that for a beginner. Again, the more complex the instrument is as you're getting started, the less it will tend to be used. So it's better to start with a simple telescope that you operate by hand. If you've practiced a little bit, just a little bit, with a low-power, wide-field eyepiece, you'll learn how to follow along really easily.
Funny you say practice. Is there anything analogous to taking one of these for a test drive?
In fact, there is a great way for you to find out which telescopes will work best for you, and that's to visit your local astronomy club. Local astronomy clubs around the Delaware Valley are filled with people who are not only experienced with a lot of different types of telescopes, but at their public star parties, they often bring lots of different types of telescopes, and you can get a feel for what those telescopes are like. Every amateur astronomer I know across the world will be more than happy to tell you in excruciating detail about how they got started with their first telescope.
And there's ample opportunity this week with those real early sunsets. What's available to be seen in the night sky?
If you check the evening sky around 5:30 to 6 p.m., you'll find Saturn and Venus cavorting low in the west. Or if you're an early morning person, between 6:30 and 6:45 a.m., over on the eastern side of the sky, Mercury will be the bright pinpoint of light you see closer to the horizon, with Mars above and a bit to the right.
Ballpark figure when it's all said and done. How much might you have to spend to get started with this?
If you see anything under $150, I'd be a little leery. But between $150 and $300, you can do very, very well. In fact, if you'd like more detailed information about how to purchase a telescope, check the Franklin Institute's website at fi.edu/buy-a-telescope.
Thanks, Derek.
My pleasure, Dave.
Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. He joins us each week at this time on Sky Talk.